The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does it mean to accept God's grace for everyday life? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're always glad to have you along for the ride. Today's discussion should be interesting. Now, I want to remind you before we get to it about all of the great free resources we have on our website. I'm going to come back and tell you more about that at the end, but you can go to faithalone.org to see all that we have for you right now. Let's get right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's go to answering some questions. This one's from Esther, and she says, what does it mean to accept God's grace for everyday life sanctification? When you receive the Holy Spirit, am I supposed to feel something? How quickly am I supposed to progress? I've only been at this for 1 or 2 months, so I feel like there should be some progress. What do you think?
Well, this is a very good question, Esther. What I would suggest is that what we see in the writing of the New Testament epistles is that to move from a status called a babe in Christ or a baby Christian, 1 Corinthians 3:1, to being a spiritual Christian or a spiritually minded Christian, 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, takes time. We're not given an exact statement of how long it takes, but in 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says, you are still carnal. You are still fleshly. You are still babes in Christ. And when he wrote 1 Corinthians, it was about 4 to 5 years after he had planted this church, after they had come to faith in Christ. And so it's probably best to say that a person should be a mature Christian in less than that length of time, in less than 4 to 5 years. On the other hand, Paul says someone should not be made an elder or a leader of a local church if he is a new believer. So you need to give them enough time. And most people think that the time needed to move from baby status to a mature Christian status is somewhere in the range of 1 to 2 years. And that, of course, once you attain this status of being a spiritually minded believer, you've still got a lifetime of growth ahead. It's not like you arrive.
Yeah. Define your terms here. What does it mean to be spiritual or mature? Because I can't imagine anyone becoming mature in a year. That just seems like race car fast spiritual maturity.
Well, what I would say is that the reason I say this is because of a verse like 1 Corinthians 3:3, where he starts out the verse with still, you are carnal. It shouldn't be that way after 4 to 5 years. So it should take less. You also have something similar. Let's look over there to Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food, which is the same phrase that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 3. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's kind of an interesting thing. Maturity here seems to be moral discernment.
That's part of it. The other part of it is that the person is skilled in the word of righteousness. You're able to partake of the meatier parts of God's word rather than just the milk of God's word.
Well, I wonder what word of righteousness means. Again, righteousness, that's the moral term too. So is it, again, is that related to the moral discernment? I'm just thinking out loud here for the first time.
Yeah, and let me come back to Esther from my own personal experience, which is dangerous. But I would say as I look back on my own experience in the Christian life, I did experience what she's talking about. And you probably did too, Sean, where in the first couple of months you think, well, how come I haven't advanced further than this, right? Yeah. I'm still experiencing some of these struggles. And for me, the struggles weren't so much outward morality, because I was coming from a sinless, perfectionist, holiness background, and I was very moral on externals. My language was good, and my morality was good, but I had a lot of anger. that was within me, and a lot of lack of forgiveness that was in me,
yeah,
that would squirt itself out in hostility toward others, even though I was suppressing that, yet it was there. I had a lot of self-righteous attitudes that had to be dealt with and changed. But the biggest thing was I didn't have a worldview that was God's worldview.
Right.
And so I needed to see the world differently. And like he's talking about here, being skilled in the word of righteousness and partaking of solid food. And within, I would say, probably 6 months, I was beginning to experience growth that was exciting and encouraging. My attitudes were beginning to change. Of course, I was beginning to have a daily quiet time. That started early. I was beginning to share my faith on campus. That was very important. But I think what I experienced in the first few months was just, I'm now in a process of education. And it was every month I was seeing significant progress. After a year or two, is that enough time for the person to be mature? Well, it depends. But at some level of maturity, the person now could be someone who's partaking of the meat of the word. I tend to think that could be 1 to 2 years. But like I said, that doesn't mean they've arrived. We're still growing and growing and growing for our whole Christian life.
Yeah. And what does grace look like in that process of growth in those first few years? I mean, what would the alternative to grace be?
Well, let me first mention what grace is. I have a chapter on this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, and I say this is one of the most misunderstood words.
Yeah.
Because most people think of grace as some kind of fuzzy something that God bestows on us, as something almost tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's giving us this grace, and that makes us holier, or that makes us happier,
sure,
or it makes us something. I see grace as a term that has lots of different meanings in the New Testament. It can mean thanks or thankfulness. It can mean gift. It often means God's favor. Sometimes it's merited favor. Sometimes it's unmerited favor, but it's often God's favor. And so I think grace, in terms of our Christian experience, is that God continues to favor us in spite of the fact that we're sinners.
Yeah.
In other words, Esther has not arrived yet. Bob has not arrived yet. Sean has not arrived yet. And yet God continues to favor us as long as we walk in the light and confess our sins. We're experiencing his favor. And his favor is shown in many ways. It's not only shown in the fact that he brings people into our lives that help us. Esther should be praying that God would bring mentors into her life, teachers, a church that's going to help her and be very solid Bible-teaching church. All these are expressions of God's grace, and there's so many ways. He of course, graces us or favors us with financial blessings, jobs, homes or cars or things like that. But those aren't the primary grace aspects of our Christian life. The primary ones are someone to mentor us, someone to disciple us, someone to teach us, and ultimately get us from the point where we're partaking of the milk of the word to where we're partaking of the meat of the word. And for me, that was being in Bible study groups with Campus Crusade for Christ and being in Sunday school and hearing sermons at church. All of that helped move me from the milk of the word to the meat of the word.
A verse that comes to mind, especially in this question, is grace-based sanctification versus law-based sanctification. Paul talks about what happens when you try to get sanctified by the law in Romans 7, and basically it has the opposite effect, right? So you can try. There's all kinds of books out there and traditions out there that have take a very legalistic view of sanctification. And you will find, Esther, if you try that, it'll have the opposite effect, because sin uses the law to provoke the sin in you, and it just puts you in a worse-off situation. And I think about this verse in Galatians 3, where Paul talks to the Galatians. Not only are they getting confused about justification, they're thinking maybe we're justified by works. That's what the Judaizers were teaching them. But in chapter 3, he chides them about even thinking that growth, spiritual growth, happens by the works of the law. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the answer is by faith.
Faith, yeah.
Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And I think trying to made perfect by the flesh, don't you think that's a reference to trying to living under the law?
It is. Let me give you an example. Galatians 5:4, which is similar to the verses you're citing in Galatians 3. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace.
Grace, yeah.
And so what Donald Campbell, who was the president of Dallas Seminary some of the time when I was there, he wrote the commentary in the Bible Knowledge Commentary on Galatians, and he said what this verse is saying is, if a person who is justified by faith, the Galatians, then gets confused about sanctification and thinks in order to keep his justification, he must now follow the law, be circumcised and keep the law, then he falls from the experience of grace. He says it's not a loss of salvation.
Right.
It's a loss of God's favor because he's no longer living under God's favor, his hand of mercy and grace, but instead he's now living under some sort of legalistic banner that doesn't work.
Right. And later on in chapter 5, Paul says, and this maybe relates to Esther's question too, he says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which is kind of what she's concerned about. How can I grow? How can I see progress here? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's Romans 7.
Right.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. And so there is this other way of living, this non-legalistic way of living that is under grace, that is being led by the Spirit, that's different than going by the law.
Yeah, and Esther, I would say go to our website, faithalone.org. We've got lots of articles on sanctification, and if you can afford it, I would encourage you to get the book, Six Secrets of the Christian Life, by Zane Hodges.
Yeah.
It's a very helpful, small, short book.
All right. Esther, thanks for that thoughtful question. See you guys next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what our role in society should be as Christians. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.